Next reading is from Psalm 118, verses 1 to 2 and 14 to 24. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our gospel today comes from Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10, the resurrection of Jesus. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. As he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
As we heard from the young people this morning, Easter eggs and hunting for them are favorite activities. And I'm sure they were for us, my age, in our younger days. And I don't think you have to be a child to have a longing to look for something secret that you must uncover that brings forth a pleasant surprise that then materializes in your life. Easter eggs can mean more than what we pick up on Easter morning. The term has even become part of our computer and media culture. Quote, "Easter eggs can be hidden inside computer games or inserted even as views in some movies." It seems that those wizards who write computer programming get bored writing the same old thing over and over, and to amuse themselves and assert their individuality, they insert secret codes into a program that, when accessed correctly, deliver a surprise Easter egg. I do know that early on, with Apple Mac computers, You could sometimes access the cry that said, "Help, I'm being held prisoner in a software factory." I want to suggest that God also has left and hidden Easter egg surprises throughout the software of our lives. These are events that startle us with their appearance, surprise us with their spontaneity, and inspire us with their truth. The biggest Easter egg is Easter, but sometimes the other Easter eggs God gives us are events. Other times they are all in our heads. The explosion of a dazzling aha, a mind-blowing wow, an idea or insight that alters our perception, sharpens our vision, and transforms our lives. Among history's Easter eggs of that type, you might include Gutenberg's movable type printing press, the Declaration of Independence, Martin Luther King's "I Have a Dream" speech. And of course, today we celebrate the biggest Easter egg ever dropped into creation by God. Christ is risen. Thank you. Remember the scripture at the service's beginning, at the crack of dawn, sleepy and still shell-shocked from the events of the 2 days prior, the women make their way to the place where they had left Jesus. They were tired, not just because it was early morning. The prior day, the Sabbath, was termed a day of rest, but it was never restful for the women of the house because food had to be prepared ahead of time and then served to a household of family and Sabbath guests. But the women want to get to the tomb as early as possible to complete the preparation of Jesus' body. This third day in Scripture begins with physical exhaustion and the emotional upheaval and suffering the women carry with them. And they are looking forward to nothing except Jesus' cold, dead body and the last things that they can do for him. And that's when they find the first Easter egg. It's a huge one, a stone that probably had been set with an official Roman seal that forbade anybody from opening it on penalty of death. But the stone was rolled away from the tomb entrance like some enormous granite egg. Looking in, the women discover a second divine surprise. Jesus' body is not there. He's gone. And two angelic messengers appear there at the tomb. Now, these angels are not themselves eggs, but rather messengers. They're the basket, if you will, for the good news that carries God's most precious Easter egg for all creation. They proclaim Jesus isn't among the dead, he is among the living. Christ is risen. The resurrection is a victory over sin and death by our Lord. It's a seal of the promise of forgiveness and eternal life, and it is so powerful that when it dropped into creation, it left resurrection ripples moving throughout our lives in all times and places. Little Easter eggs that we can find now even before the greater fulfillment that is to come. And these women's third day, what had promised in every way to be a draining, dreadful, soul-sucking day, was suddenly transformed by these Easter eggs into the most miraculous day creation would ever witness. Every one of you here this morning, I'm sure, has experienced at least third day times in your life like the women were feeling that morning. You may not have found the empty tomb, but you've all had experiences, moments, sometimes even years, that appear to offer nothing but grief or a put your head down, nose to the grindstone, just get through it way of thinking. Well, these kinds of third days are our own life's watershed times, no less than that first Easter was a great watershed. Times that determine a future course and current of our lives. When is it a third day? When one way of life dies and another is born. Third days can be the most frightening, end of your rope, quicksand under your feet, times of your lives, but if you trust in God's resurrecting power and Christ's grace, these third days can lead us often into many resurrections and Easter eggs of divine renewal. Scripture, in fact, identifies 30 defining events that shaped history and the understanding of the ways of God on earth as having occurred on a third day. It was on the third day, for instance, at Sinai that God seals the covenant with Moses. On the third day it was that Esther went to the king to beg for the safety of the Jews in Persia. On the third day after leaving their home camp, Abraham prepares to sacrifice Isaac. Third day events occur throughout the life of people in Scripture. And there in our third days are crossover moments in time beyond which nothing is the same again. So what's your third day? My daughters thought mine was when I turned 40. They said, you know, now it was just a matter of going downhill and coasting into death. 30 years later, I'd like to think they are somewhat pleased it didn't happen at 40. Or maybe it was a day a marriage died, or the day a person had to make hard choices about caring for an ailing parent, or the day a child died, the day someone lost a job. These are the third days, and they raise the question is, will you be able to find and open some Easter eggs this week that God will drop into your lives? Or even better yet, will you allow Easter eggs to crack you open? Will you allow God to crack open despair, crack open old habits, crack open antagonisms, crack open hopelessness, can crack open addiction, crack open your crankiness, crack open your mediocrity, crack open your fears? Because then when you allow God to do that, you are getting a foretaste of the victory to eternal life. The Easter eggs that follow Easter ask us, will you let alleluias fill the hollows of your soul? Will you trust God to turn every third day into a resurrection? Because I've got some bad news for those of you who are chronically pessimistic. Christ is risen. And I have bad news for all of you who are bored and passionless. Christ is risen. Thank you. And it happens to all of us. Nadia Boltz-Weber, I think, has described the ongoing impact of Easter well. In a sermon, she said, God simply keeps reaching down into the dirt of humanity and resurrecting us from the graves we dig for ourselves through our violence, our lives, our selfishness, our arrogance, and our addictions. God keeps loving us back to life over and over. For Christ has been resurrected, our sins are forgiven. We as God's people are on the way to the kingdom. Jesus is alive and his spirit is living in us. Christ is risen. Believe it and now go out and crack open the Easter eggs God places within your life and let them crack you open to the movement of the spirit of the risen Christ. Amen.